Radio Club. IDXers, Phil Wayne here for Market Scope, magnetically monitoring media markets from the metropolis of Marion, Ohio. Oh well. This month we continue Onward and Upward, the FM dial in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, courtesy of noted radio programmer extraordinaire, Clark Ingram.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh. It's 12 o'clock.
This is WRCT News.
And with the WRCT News at noon, I'm Random Subbu. It's currently 50 degrees in Oakland, courtesy of our friends at the Carnegie Tech Radio Club. Complete weather at the end of this newscast. That's the WRCT News at noon. It's now back to Turbo Kick. I'm Random Subbu. Thanks for tuning in.
This has been WRCT News.
All right, that was 2:45 a.m. by Elliot Smith. This is Turbo Kick. I'm Rob, here with you for the next hour. If you want to make a request, you can call 412-621-WRCT or extension 8WRCT if you're on the CMU campus. And right now, I'm going to start up a little Japanese short set, and after that, move into some Indian music. Give us a call if you want to hear anything, or send us an instant message. Our AIM screen name is WRCT-883.
Conductor Herbert von Karajan's 1962 recording of Mozart's Requiem, we heard a couple of movements, the Introit and the Kyrie, which open Mozart's final masterwork. The Berlin Philharmonic was the orchestra. We heard the Vienna Singverein as the chorus. Wilma Lipp, brief soprano solos there. Wrapping up today's edition of Lunch with Amadeus and Friends. WQED-FM Pittsburgh, WQEJ Johnstown, WQED Multimedia.
On the next Symphony Cast, Irish virtuoso Fineen Collins joins the Houston Symphony for the Piano Concerto No. 19 by Mozart.
High 48 and partly sunny as well on Friday with a high of 55 degrees. Currently downtown, it's 58.
Support for DUQ comes from Steinway & Sons, celebrating their 150th anniversary with an offering of Steinway and Steinway Design Pianos, available at Heinz Hall, November 20th through the 23rd. Appointments are necessary. For further information, 1-800-491-0347.
From Duquesne University, news, jazz, and PR, 90.5 WDUQ, Pittsburgh. It's 1 minute after 7 o'clock.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Corey Flintoff.
91.3 WYEP Pittsburgh. The Andy Warhol Museum joins you in supporting WYEP. The Warhol presents Good Fridays every Friday from 5 to 10 p.m. This week features art making in the Evening Factory and an author talk. Pittsburgh author Max Friedman will discuss his book, Strapped for Cash, A History of American Hustler Culture. Information about Good Fridays is available at 237-8300 and at warhol.org.
This year's Leonid meteor shower isn't expected to be as remarkable as some of those in recent years. But if you want to watch it, we'll tell you how. After this on Earth and...
Dial and start owning your life. 1-800-400-4535. That's 1-800-400-4535.
WLTJ Pittsburgh, a service of Steel City Media. Now another long set of great music on Light Rock 92.9.
I've heard people say that...
computer may be slow today, but we'll help pick up the pace with great music and great variety. The No Repeat Workday on Light Rock 92.9.
Decades of great music and great variety. That's Light Rock 92.9. Billy Joel there with She's Got Away. Also heard Uncle Cracker in that set with Follow Me and Extremes More Than Words. Good morning. It's 10:15. Vicki Cohill with you. And not too bad of a day. Right now it just looks kind of gloomy, but we'll get some partly sunny skies later on today. Mild too, really. Highs in the mid-50s. And then a few clouds roll around tonight. Lows in the mid-40s. It's currently 51 degrees in Pittsburgh. Enjoy. Coming up, we're going to enjoy more music. Carol King's next on Light Rock 92.9.
Credit subject to approval. Normal credit standards apply. Credit cards issued by Bank of America, NA, USA.
We're kicking off another long set of Light Rock with Les Talk. On Pittsburgh's only No More Pete Workday. Light Rock 92.9.
all of today's new music next on 93.7 BCC.
Brought to you by CBS Television.
CBS Tonight.
Call now.
WBCC, Pittsburgh.
You gotta hear this. You ready?
10 in a row. Nonstop.
Stop it up.
I love the music they play.
Commercial free, baby.
Your station rocks
all of today's pop music.
The best station ever.
93.7 BCC.
Do something.
Give me a little bit more music in my head.
I listen to you guys all the time on the radio. You are awesome. You are the best radio station ever.
93.7.
All of today's best music.
BZZ.
93.7 BZZ.
I don't know what you heard about me. Come on.
Yeah. All of today's best music, 93.7 BZZ. It's Melanie Taylor. We got free Movie Monday chances coming up and a free Mel member name to announce very soon. More importantly, 11:20, keep it here. Junk in the trunk key, you could get it. 10 in a row now at 93.7 BZZ.
T.S.
Baby.
Yeah.
No.
Come on.
93.7
BZZ. 10 in a row.
Today's best music.
93.7 BZZ.
How the hell do we wind up like this?
93.7 BZZ.
All of today's best music.
Baby, baby, baby.
Plus, your future favorites.
Future favorites first.
Beyonce, Me, Myself, and I.
Ladies, if you feel me, help me sing it out.
The one.
Our call letters are
WBCC.
Our dial setting is
93.7.
Our station name is 93.7.
BCC.
And we play
all of today's best music.
Like this.
Chris, start your day with weather, news, sports, and dependable traffic on your FM information station, Pittsburgh's 94.5 3WS. Now it's Mike Fraser.
Indeed it is. At last, with a slight delay, 2 o'clock on the nose, off on a Monday like a thundering herd of turtles, with good time into the 60s and 70s just for you.
94.5 3WS.
Your hometown.
Hi, I'm Erin.
My name is Denise.
Pittsburgh is my hometown.
Pittsburgh proud. 94.5
3WS. I'll get you on the fifth block. Looking out my back door, CCR. I just want to say thanks to everybody who stopped by the Penguins Charity Carnival yesterday. If you were there, I hope you had as good a time as I did. Midnight Train to Georgia, Gladys Knight in the Pits. And this works 94.5 3WS.
Yeah.
My
world,
it's
why stop when you're having fun?
Amen to that, brother.
Here in the middle of 10 in a row on Pittsburgh's 94.5 3WS.
Look out,
because
it's
a natural situation. People got to be free. Rascals, Pittsburgh's 94.5 3WS. Good time hits in the 60s and 70s. 14 minutes after 2 o'clock. How's it going by you? Well, maybe you'll get better. Onward and upward, what? Four season.
What? Good time hits of the 60s and 70s. 94.5 3WS.
Fighting the battle against dull, lifeless workplaces.
One radio at a time.
It would be nice to have a reason to come into work every day.
You're charged up with good time hits of the 60s and 70s on Pittsburgh's 94.5
3WS.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way
the sunlight plays upon her head.
Thanks, Clark, for sending in all those great air checks. I'll see you back here next month for more of Pittsburgh's FMs. Hey, don't forget, we're still giving away a jingle CD if you send us your market scope. Send to Phil Wayne, 1872 Myers Road East, Marion, Ohio 43302-8730. Thank you so much for all your help, and now here are the musings from the members.
The DX Audio Service Musings from Members.
Call the DX Audio Service Action Line at 419-224-1609. 24 hours a day.
This is Don Finney in Miami, Florida. On the July issue of the DX Audio Service letter, there was a wonderful, wonderful jingle concerning the island of Tasmania, which you said was south of Australia. It was a radio station there in that area. That sounds like a jingle that might have been done in the early 60s. I want to compliment you on that. That was absolutely wonderful. I was just wondering if you knew when that jingle was done. It was wonderful. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Mike Lance in Miami Beach with three big news developments. Number one, there's a new station on 1670. All they're giving is the weather. For now, I don't know what it's going to be. Number two, Howard Stern, who was originally on Big 105.9 WBGG, is moving to WQAM, Sports Radio 560, beginning August 16th. And the big story is, beginning September 1st, Waxy 790, your brokerage radio station for South Florida, is going to be known as Waxy ESPN 790, the ticket. They're dropping, I believe, most of the brokerage programming and gonna go all sports. And the fourth thing is, in Atlanta, Georgia, the classic rock station at 92.9 Drop Classic Rock, and they're known as Dave 92.9. I believe 96 Rock is now the classic rock station in Atlanta.
Hi, this is John Jim from Elmira Heights. To answer Wayne Ryan's question, the station on 1480 in Hornell is WLEA, and it's been on the air for years and years, and it's the same station they had Bob Crane, who later became Hulk Hogan's Heroes. And the other station on 720, I doubt if you would have been able to reach that station in Syracuse, because I tried it and I cannot get it. And it's very, it's a very weak station. Even my friend Ken Williams cannot get it. I hope to see everybody up there to Batavia Days Inn in September.
This is Tim Hendel, and I hope somebody has the answer to this question. Why did low power FM have the requirement of three channels away, yet these translators can be two channels away? We have a 100,000-watt NPR station here in Huntsville on 89.3, and we have a full-power station of Oakwood College on 90.1. Yet on 89.7, which is only two channels away from both of those stations, we have one of these satellite-delivered Christian formats, which contributes absolutely nothing to the local community. So if they can be there, why can't low-power FM be there? Also, I'd like to say 1130 in New York is WBBR, Bloomberg Business Radio. It changed from WNEW several years ago, and that is the same Bloomberg as the mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, though I don't know if Michael ever had a hand in the radio operation.
Hi, this is George from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This one report to you that there is a station in Chicago, Illinois, which is 560 in redial. WIND, and there's a problem with that station because it has IBOC on there. I'm sure you heard all about IBOC. IBOC is not good for DXers, and it's also not good for people who are trying to get, who are getting the stations further away from them with emergency. Let's say if there was an emergency, you cannot hear it because IBOC's in the way. IBOC is no good. We should stop that. We should stop IBOC. It is no good at all. And WTMJ also had IBOC, but they stopped that now, so. And WTMJ is 620.
Hi, this is Rusty Curry in Springfield, Oregon. First, if anyone happens to have a February Braille PopCom, I would be interested if they're going to throw, if they were going to throw it away anyway. Secondly, what about that contest? I haven't heard a thing, and I wonder who won it and what kind of score they got. I'm talking about the DX contest last winter. And thirdly, I do hope that LPFM gets a second wind. I just wonder how many radios are there that are capable of picking up a marginal signal at, let's say, 2 miles distance in a crowded RF city environment. I know GE Super 2s would be great at that, but I know a lot of pricey radios probably couldn't. And actually, I've heard that airlines are studying that now, relaxing the restrictions on cell phone, and I would hope that would include Walkmans, and that would be really great.
This is Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts, on Friday, August the 13th, with several New England Patriots affiliated stations to report. I've just discovered them. 95.1 WXTK West Yarmouth Cape Cod, 100.1 WWFX in Worcester, Massachusetts, and 100.3 right next door is WKKB from Middletown, Rhode Island. The station also serves Fall River and New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Hello, DXers. This is Herbert Newberry calling from Milledgeville, Georgia. In case you're wondering about the quality of signal WSB on 750 in Atlanta, I received a correspondence on 813 from Mr. William Wegman, an engineer with Cox Radio Group Atlanta, who is overseeing the maintenance being done at WSB's transmitting tower. According to a report that I have here in writing, quote, your assumption that the reduction in signal strength was due to the tower being painted was correct. Fairing good weather, the tower should be finished within the next few weeks. The signal is being brought down from 50 kilowatts to 5 kilowatts a couple of hours each night, each clear night, for the safety of the tower crew. Interestingly, the lines and hoists used by the tower crew are being made of fiberglass and rubber composites to avoid the risk of electrocution. The tower is, according to the letter, the tower is a 644-foot-tall Truscan radiator built in 1939, and they employ a Harris DX50 solid-state digitally modulated transmitter fed into the same tower. The tower is located 12 miles northeast of their downtown studios at the corner of I-285 and La Vista Road in DeKalb County. I received this letter yesterday, and I suspected that they were painting the tower, and Mr. Wegman was kind enough to send me a letter to verify that. So just thought I'd let you know that WSB is reducing power at night for maintenance on their tower, and it might be a good opportunity for some DXing on 750, particularly in the eastern United States.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Last night I picked up a station in Milwaukee on 1510. And they're now carrying ESPN Sports. WTAM in Cleveland, 1100, has a contract extension through 2010 now. Do the Indians games. I'm very happy to hear that. WHAM in Rochester, New York will be carrying New York Giant football this fall. I don't get it being that close to Buffalo. I think they should have been doing the Bills games. I'm sorry to hear the passing of Bill Brundage that was mentioned a few months ago. I used to listen to him when I lived in Anaheim, California. He was on KHJ in Los Angeles and KDAY Santa Monica. He did Los Angeles Angels baseball when they were in the Pacific Coast League and some Los Angeles Rams football with Bob Kelly sometimes, and also he did wire recreation of American League baseball games on K-Day on the weekends when he was there, and he was very good. I'm sorry also to hear of the passing of Bob Murphy. I remember way back when Bob was doing the games with Kurt Gowdy, the Boston Red Sox, in the 50s, and then he went to Baltimore for a while before he came in with the Mets, and he and Lindsey Nelson were the original announcers along with Ralph Kiner. They were very good. The Toronto Argonauts games are back on 640 now, Mojo Radio in Toronto, after they didn't have any radio last year of their games, and it's doing very well.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. Remember, if you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. The number is 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day. For DX Audio Service members only, you might want to give us a call if you'd like to comment on something someone has said, or perhaps How about this for a topic for the next edition of the DX Audio Service? If you were one of those folks that went to the 2004 National Radio Club Convention in Batavia, New York, why not give us a call and give us your review of the convention? And speaking of conventions or just a simple get-together, we received an email from Bill Dvorak up in Milwaukee, who writes, congratulations to host Tim Noonan for making Saturday's Milwaukee-Madison get-together for DXers and radio enthusiasts the best one in our 11-year history. The event took place on a sun-drenched 68-degree day. Participating DXers began gathering in Sheraton Park, Goodale, Wisconsin, just before 1 p.m. There we had use of a park shelter, outdoor picnic tables under a stately old shade trees, and Lake Michigan as the backdrop. We welcomed six first-time attendees to our growing group. New friendships were made and some old ones renewed. One of the highlights of the day came when Kaz demonstrated AM phasing. The size of the park allowed for plenty of room for Kaz to lay down some bogs, that is, a beverage-on-ground antenna, and a quantum phaser and a Drake R8B receiver rounded out his setup. Some amazing things we heard in that demonstration, and we all got a real appreciation for what phasing can do. At 6 p.m., the gathering moved to Judy's Family Restaurant in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. The food was delicious and reasonably priced, and the atmosphere pleasant and relaxed. After dinner, we moved on to Tim and Jill's apartment in Oak Creek. Another tradition, cutting and consuming the get-together cake, was followed by conversation late into the night. The final count for our gathering was 29 DXers. As in the past, the National Radio Club was well represented at the Madison-Milwaukee get-together. Bill Dvorak, Carl Forth, George Green, Neil Kazros, Dave Legger, Kevin McGill, Frank Merrill, Ken Honestchuk, Cheryl Pazkowitz, John Rieger, and Glenn Schroeder were all in attendance. So many memories of this get-together will long remain. The radio talk and other conversations, the perfect day, the close friends of the hobby, the fun. For me, the Madison get-together provided an annual reminder not of only what a remarkable hobby we're engaged in, but also what a great group of people pursue it. Next year, the 12th annual Madison-Milwaukee get-together for DXers and radio enthusiasts moves back to Madison, and my wife Nina and I will be your hosts. As the event gets closer, information will be provided on this list and on the DX audio service, so we hope that you will join us. And that is from Bill Dvorak from Madison, Wisconsin. Now, just in case your tape arrives before you have a chance to head off for the convention, the 2004 National Radio Club Convention, we have an update here that we'd like to pass along. For those of you joining us on Thursday for our Canadian station visits, the schedule has now been confirmed. We'll depart the day's end at 8 o'clock sharp on Thursday morning, arriving in plenty of time for an 11 a.m. tour of the CHWO 740 and CJBC 860 site in Hornby, Ontario. For our Canadian friends, meet us on the site. The 740-860 site is adjacent to the interchange of Highway 104, otherwise known as the 104, and the 407 ETR, just east of Trafalgar Road and just south of the 401. Access is off 8th Line Road. Be there by 11 o'clock sharp. After the CHWO-CJBC transmitter tour, we'll be heading into downtown Oakville to visit the AM 740 studios, and then we'll grab some lunch. And then, we've now confirmed a visit to the transmitter site of legendary 1050 Chum, CHUM. After that, we'll drive by CFRB 1010 and CFTR 680 on the way back to the States. Our Friday tours now include Buffalo's WNED, an exterior visit of the WWKB-WGR site, and an afternoon at Batavia's local WBTA 1490. Expect to hear some National Radio Club members on the air that afternoon. And Saturday is chock full of Rochester AM action. The mighty Wham transmitter, WHAM, the local legendary WBBF 950 site, and Scott Feibusch's own WXXI 1370 site, and maybe some more to come. Sunday morning will feature a wake-up quiz by John Bowker, the travelogue taping session for the DX Audio Service, a short talk from Ben Dangerfield on DXing during World War II, and, of course, the legendary National Radio Club examination, followed by a trip east to Bloomfield and the Antique Wireless Association Museum. The word from Jerry Bond is that the registration count is now nearing 50, so it'll be one big convention indeed. If you still haven't registered, you can mail it to Jerry at 143 Burwell Road, Rochester, New York, 14617, or do it by PayPal at www.nrcdxas.org. Or if you just want to show up and pay at the convention, it's $40 for each member and $20 for their spouse or significant other. Do you need a room for the convention? Well, we hear that the Days Inn is now sold out. However, you might want to look at your luck a bit and give them a call and see if somebody has canceled. Their number is 585-343-1440. Anyways, we hope to see you in Batavia for the 2004 National Radio Club Convention. Around this time of the year, I start to get the plethora of emails, letters, and phone calls from members who say, "Hey, how can I host a National Radio Club convention?" Well, it's actually pretty easy if you just follow the rules. What are the rules, you ask? Well, our ombudsman, John Bowker, provided me with a nice two-page document, which pretty much explains everything. So if you're thinking about hosting a convention for the club in the near future, perhaps 2005, listen up, because here's the process. Have you considered hosting the annual National Radio Club Convention? Those weekends are the high point of the year for many members. There are a lot of ways to host a National Radio Club Convention, but here are some of the guidelines assembled by earlier hosts that simplify the whole process. Number one, submit a bid for a convention to the Board of Directors. You do this by sending it to the National Radio Club, Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, and that's spelled Mansville, New York, 13661-0164. Your bid should give an idea about local hotel room rates and confirm that there is a hotel that can reserve about 25 rooms plus a couple of meeting rooms for our weekend. You should also give an idea about food services both in the hotel and nearby. If you have had any experience in attending a convention of this sort, mention that in your bid. Tell about others in your community who will actively help you put on the convention, that is, a co-convention host. Include your phone number and email address if you have one. You may want to start at your local convention and visitors bureau or the local chamber of commerce to tell them about the convention. Often those organizations can help with hotel and restaurant suggestions and give you some information about the local area. They may alert you to community events planned for those same days that would interest some of our attendees. Do not sign any commitment on your own or on behalf of the National Radio Club. You must be at least 21 years of age to sign any contracts. If your bid is accepted by the National Radio Club's Board of Directors, you will receive more information about how to work with hotels, food services, and other local organizations that will make your convention one of the best. Number two, after your bid has been accepted, there are logical steps to follow once you have confirmed by the National Radio Club as the official host for a National Radio Club upcoming convention. The National Radio Club's board chairman may appoint one of the board members to work with you directly, and you will receive both a letter and a phone call with that information. He will work with you on each of the following points. A. Secure a hotel reservation immediately. You should ask for 25 rooms to be set aside for attendees and 2 meeting rooms for 3 days in the hotel for our meetings. Be sure the prices they quote you include all taxes and gratuities. B. Secure a date and time for the annual banquet. usually held on Saturday evening. If the banquet is to be held in the hotel, fine. If it is in another building, give some thought about transportation between the hotel and the restaurant. C. Determine the cost we must charge for attendees. This would include a share of the two meeting rooms, but not their sleeping rooms, the banquet, share of the beer and soft drinks. Get okay from the hotel that we can have our own such drinks. D. Canvas the immediate area around the hotel to learn about other places our members might go for breakfast, lunch, or whatever. E. Plan a tour of local broadcast stations if possible. Note that many stations just don't have a staff in place on the weekends, so this may become a Friday event. Decide if their transmitter site would be a interesting tour. Your board member consultant will discuss these things with you and other amenities about publicity, maps, collecting items to be auctioned on Saturday night, goodies to give attendees, transportation between the hotel and the airports, bus terminals, etc., and the activities for spouses if possible. A lot of work? Sure is. But spread it out over most of the year and you'll be amazed at how easily the pieces all fit together. So send in a bid, and we'll get back to you shortly. Had Russell Curry not called the DX Audio Services musings to the members and reminded me about this, this would have been one of those little facts that has fallen on its face in history. And I'd like to thank Russell for reminding me about this. At the beginning of our 2004 year, we saw the death of our contest manager, Eric Conchi. I also got extremely busy at work and had other things going on, and the script just got misplaced. So I'm finally getting around to reading this, and I'd like to especially thank Paul Swearingen for resurrecting a copy of the script that he had stored in Topeka. So here goes with our National Radio Club contest. The final entries are in, and congratulations to our seven participants in the 2003-2004 NRC contest. I should mention that I neglected to add 20 points to Wayne Heinen's March loggings total, as somehow his submission for that month reached me on time, but I neglected to transfer his entry from my laptop to my desktop computer where I prepare DX News Magazine. Wayne was a runaway winner at the finish, and for all his hard work, we're just going to award him the position of NRC contest manager for the next season. He declined to accept anything less. So congratulations to Wayne. However, congratulations to all, especially our top three winners. They are Russell Curry from the DX Audio Service, who takes home $15 worth of anything of his choice from National Radio Club publications. Mike Clancy, the only contester to send in handwritten loggings, and he'll receive $10 of value from the National Radio Club's publications. And Nancy Johnson, who also serves as IRCA's contest manager, and she'll receive $5. Your winnings can be applied to anything from the National Radio Club AM log to a credit on your subscription, or maybe just a page reprint. Be ready for more NRC contest news from Wayne in the very near future. Now, I bet you want to know the numbers. Well, here goes, and you might want to use these as reference on who you got to beat next year. Russell Curry, 151. Mike Clancy, 114. Nancy Johnson, 76. Jason Corralja, 62. Garrett Woolman, 44. And David Jones, 16. And as we mentioned, Wayne Heinen topped it out with 522. So there you go on the contest. Again, apologies to all for not getting that out sooner.
Hello again, DXers at the convention. Ken Honest Juck here for your September edition of sports. And I have quite a bit to pass along. Let me get to this quickly. National Football League. I'll start out with the AFC. The Buffalo Bills, 96.9 WGRF, 103.3 WEDG, and announcers from last year, of course, Van Miller and John Murphy. Van Miller, I believe, retired. There will be another announcer who hasn't been mentioned yet. The Miami Dolphins on 560 WQAM. Any conflicts with the Marlins? They go to 790 WAXY. And that's Bill Zimfer and John Mandich. the New England Patriots, 104.1 WBCN in Foxborough, Mass. And that's Gino Santos and Gil Santos and Gino Capoletti. Next, the New York Jets, 770 WABC. Any conflicts, go to 1050 WEPN. And that's Bob Wischusen and Marty Lyons. The Baltimore Ravens on 1300 WJFK, 102.7 WQSR with Tom Maddie and Scott Garceau. The Cincinnati Bengals, 1360 WCKY. Remember the days when they were on 1530 years ago? And 92.5 WOFX with Pete Arbogast and Dave Laffam. The Cleveland Browns, 100.7 WMMS, games that are not heard at 1100 WTAM. And those announcers, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Mike Snyder, Casey Coleman. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 970 WBGG, 102.5 WDVE, and that's Bill Hillgrove, Myron Cope, and Touch Ilkin. The Houston Texans, 610, 100.3, AM&FM, KILT, with Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware. The Indianapolis Colts on 1260 WNDE and 94.7 WFBQ with Bob Lamy here. Next, the Jacksonville Jaguars, 690 WOKV and 96.9 WKQL with Jeff Lagerman and Brian Sexton. The Tennessee Titans out of Nashville play at 103.3 WKDF with Mike Keith here, it says. The Denver Broncos on 850 KOA with Mike Logan and Scott Hastings. I don't believe there'll be Spanish this year. The Kansas City Chiefs play on 101.1 KCFX out of Harrisonville, Missouri. And Mitch Holtus, Len Dawson, Bill Grigsby, Bob Gretz, play-by-play. The Oakland Raiders on 560 KSFO, Greg Papa, Tom Flores. The San Diego Chargers, 760 KFMB, Dan Rowe and Hank Bauer. No Spanish listed. The NFC, the Dallas Cowboys. Flagship, 98.7 KLUV, Brad Sham and Babe Laufenberg. And thank you again to Bill Hale. 33 stations on AM and 23 on FM broadcast the games. The New York Giants on 660 WFAN. Any conflict with the Mets, move to 1130 WBBR with Bob Papa, Dick Lynch, and Dave Jennings. The Philadelphia Eagles, 94.1 WYSP with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick. The Washington Redskins, 106.7 WJFK with Sam Huff and Frank Herzog. The Chicago Bears, last year on their contract with 780 WBBM. And West Suburban 1280 WBIG that I've heard about with Jeff Joniak, Hub Arkush, and Tom Thayer. Detroit Lions, 97.1 WKRK, Mark Champion, Jim Brandstetter. Green Bay Packers on Milwaukee's 620 WTMJ. Conflict with the Brewers. The Brewers go to 94.5 WKTI. In Green Bay, you can hear the games on 1400 WNGB. the Minnesota Vikings, 1130 on KFAN with Paul Allen, Joe Sensor, and Greg Coleman. The Atlanta Falcons, 92.9 WZGC. Last year was Jeff Hollinger, Jeff Van Noten, Billy Johnson. The Carolina Cougars out of Charlotte, 99.7 WRFX. And that's Roman Gabriel, Bill Rosinski, and Jim Zook. The New Orleans Saints, 870 WWL, powerful signal. And that's Jim Henderson and Hoki Gajan. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and 103.5 The Beat, WTBT, with Gene Dekaroff and Scott Brantley. The Arizona Cardinals out of Phoenix, 1060 KDUS, 100.7 KSLX in the suburbs with Dave Pash and John Missler. The St. Louis Rams on 103.3 KLOU, 550 KTRS with Steve Savard, Jack Snow, and Malcolm Briggs. The San Francisco 49ers on the West Coast Powerhouse, 810 KGO with Joe Starkey and Gary Plummer. And the Seattle Seahawks on another West Coast power, 710 KIRO, with Sam Edkins and Brian Davis. First, some good news I want to send out to you. The native of Endicott, New York, Dick Biondi, celebrates his 20th year in radio, first week of August, as 20 years on 104.3 WJMK. He came here in 1984 from North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, to Chicago, to the former WJJD-FM. It was changed to WJMK, went oldies, and he went to morning shift, and the following year he went to evenings. He now works 8 to 12 p.m. Monday through Friday and 2 to 6 p.m. on Saturday. And Dick is still going well. He will be 72 in September. Obituary to pass on to you, and I felt this was important enough to our sports fans, especially in the New York area. Bob Murphy, one of the original three voices of baseball's New York Mets, with Ralph Kiner and the late Lindsey Nelson, died Tuesday, August the 3rd, in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, of lung cancer at 79 years old. Born and raised in Oklahoma, though city was never mentioned, Bob studied petroleum engineering at Tulsa University and called minor league hockey and baseball games. He left that university without graduating, but began calling University of Oklahoma football when Bud Wilkinson coached the team. He served in World War II in the Marines. He began his broadcasting career when he met Kurt Gowdy, and they called Muskogee Reds baseball in the early 1950s. Later, Kurt invited him to be his partner calling Boston Red Sox games in 1954 to 59. Bob said, "Kurt was a wonderful teacher. I had a Southwest accent in Boston, and with the support, I did much to straighten out, practicing word for word." After the 1959 season, he moved to Baltimore for 3 years. Then he was hired in 1962 by the new expansion team's owner, Joan W. Payson of the New York Metropolitans, Mets for short, to team with Ralph Kiner and Lindsey Nelson. It was the tape of Roger Maris's 60th home run versus Baltimore in September 1961 that piqued her interest in Bob. Bob was part of a generation of announcers like Vin Scully, Ernie Harwell, Harry Carey, and Jack Buck, who built their reputations in radio. Bob's upbeat style was especially useful in the Mets' early years, when they were just awful. But he was also behind the mic for the 1969 and 86 World Series wins and the 1973 losses to Oakland and 2000 series loss to the Yankees. When the first three started, Murphy and Nelson would switch between radio and TV and were a team through 1978, when Lindsay took a job with the San Francisco Giants. Bob then moved entirely to radio, a move forced on him by management, but he eventually accepted it. In later years, he worked with younger announcers Gary Thorne and Gary Cohen. In recent years, he had throat problems, which caused him to break his rhythm. He sat out over a month in 2001 with pneumonia. And less than 2 months ago this year, he was announced that he had cancer. Bob is survived by his wife of 32 years, Joyce, a son, Brian, and three daughters and two stepdaughters. Bob was awarded his spot in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 1994. I rarely heard Bob myself because the Met station was not heard well in my suburban Chicago home, but I still appreciate him for his 42-year stint with the Mets and 50 years overall with Boston, Baltimore, and New York. That's it for now. My time is up. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the convention. I'll talk to you next time with more sports. Take it away, Fred.
Thanks, Ken. That's it. That's all. There is no more time for your DX audio service for September 2004. We'll see you in 30 days after the convention. 73, good DX, and get out and support radio.